Just turn your Bibles this evening to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. We're in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. I want to look at a message tonight, a little bit about understanding why we do what we do. Right? Why we do what we do. And some of you are going to be familiar with this passage. I'm sure you've heard it preached. And this is kind of the one of those chapters that gets preached out of this whole section of... There's a couple chapters that get preached out of this whole section of post-exile Israel. This is one of them. And so we're going to look into this a little bit tonight. Chapter 8, verse 1. Let's all stand together, if you would. Find your place there. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Bible says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Let's pray together. Say, Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this time. Thankful for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, would you bless? Would you encourage us as we intend to see in your word, to know more about you, your plan, your purpose, and your desire. And Lord, I pray that you'd lead, guide, and direct tonight, and we will thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So, number one is this, how to go forward. How to go forward. So when Nehemiah came into Jerusalem and made known unto the rulers and the priests and to the Jews, made them known what was going on and brought this to their attention, they said this. They said, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. And build they did. And build they did. 52 days. 52 days they completed a wall all the way around the city of Jerusalem. 52 days. Who would have ever expected that? Nobody. I mean, if you see the distance of that, it's like, wow, how could we ever... We already know it says this is a great city and not many people, so we know there's this... It's a big wall. 52 days. Less than 2 months it was done. They had to put their necks to the work. Talks about that in one place. This was a courageous, valiant effort of great success. It was a wonderful thing that they did. It was amazing. A feat of cooperation, right? But there's always that except, right? A wall alone would not build a great people. There's a lot of people that tried to hide behind a wall that didn't do very well. I can remember this big wall. I mean, I don't know how big it was, honestly. I mean, I guess you could ride a chariot across it or something. Seems like a pretty big wall. And a bunch of guys, you know, people, walked around blowing trumpets and hollering, ah, right? And the whole wall came tumbling down, right? In Jericho. Y'all remember that story? It's kind of something like that. It's the short version. Walls don't make a great people. Walls just were a way. But listen, building the physical structure gave them an opportunity to put their mind, their heart, and their will toward the things of God. Could you even imagine how excited they were? Well, we don't have to imagine. We remember there in the book of Ezra how excited they were when they just built the foundation of the temple. Right? They were so excited. And then later on, the temple's built. And could you imagine, though, how excited they were when they built this wall around the city in 52 days? You got to know they were working and working and, you know, the trowel in one hand, a sword in the other, you know, these kind of things. There are just all these things going on. And all of a sudden, there it is. And they're getting back and look at it like, wow. That's what we're going to be doing next week about the auditorium being finished. Wow, it's done. Took 52 weeks to get it done. Kidding. But the physical structure gave them the opportunity to put their heart and their mind in. You ever done this? You know, what can I do for the Lord? You ever thought that way? What can I do? I don't mean like, what can I do? I mean, what can I do? You know, tell me what to do. You know, what to do. And I'll tell you, I found it sometimes. Some of the challenging work as a pastor or a missionary was trying to find the work to do for everybody to serve. A wall would be a great way. All y'all work on that wall over there. We'll go back and take a nap. No, but there's this concept of how do we get our hands to the, what do we do? And so a physical building and the physical structure was a wonderful opportunity for them to get their mind, I'm serving God. Put my heart in it to it. Yeah, put their necks to the work. Because some of them, when they finished their part, they went and did another part. I mean, they put their heart to it, right? And their will. Like, listen, I got other things. I'm going to have to sacrifice some of my things to work together. Remember, we talked about some of these people were treating the others almost like slaves. Remember, we talked about that. And so there were some things they had to put their will aside. And man, it was a great time. Great time of community. Great time of unity. But now it was time to turn to the actual truth of the Word of God. Going forward for the Lord is not just a matter of doing right versus wrong. Okay? Sometimes we want to kind of simple check a box, right or wrong, is this good or bad? And we kind of put ourselves in a little bit of a, this kind of deal of like, well, I did good, so now I'm there. Listen, it's so much more than that. The going forward for the Lord it's about understanding what God desires from His people. More about Jesus. It's about knowing more about Him. This is how we go forward. We learn more about Him than we did before. Can you imagine somebody say, I've been in church so long, there's nothing else to learn? Could you imagine somebody saying that? I could more than imagine. I've heard people say that. I've heard middle-aged, older-aged, and very old people say stuff like that. Well, there's not really anything. When somebody says that, it actually really evidences that they don't understand really the Word of God. This is a living book. If you think you've learned it all, go back through and read. I've done that. I've done that myself, by the way. The reason I know people say stuff like that is I've been there. Right? You're like, I already know all that. Not anything, but I already know about that book, and then somebody preaches something else out of it, like every week here. Somebody comes and I'm like, oh yeah, I never thought about that. Right? Isn't that amazing? It's a wonderful thing. So in this 8th chapter of Nehemiah, the word understand or understanding or understood, something in that way, is found 6 times in this chapter. Listen, the Bible is not a magic book. Okay, y'all with me? It's not a magic book that changes people or circumstances because somebody reads it or recites it. We don't chant the Word of God like it's some kind of... I'll tell you, in Sri Lanka, we would hear these Buddhists chant. It's creepy. I'm telling you, hear these people chanting. At first, like, oh, that kind of, you know... But after you hear it going on and on for like 3 hours... It eats at your soul, I'm telling you. There's a heaviness on that. And I'm thinking, but what they think is for their much repetition, God's going to hear them or somebody's going to, or something's going to happen. The Bible isn't a magic book that works, that does something just because it's recited. Listen, God's Word must be understood before it can enter the heart and release its life-changing power. It's got to be understood. If we don't understand the Word of God, just here, listen, just sitting here, I know this is, but just sitting here doesn't give us special benefit. Kind of. I think God blesses our faithfulness. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I do believe God blesses us for being here. But I'm saying it's not going to change our heart because we're just in the hearing of it. Okay? It must be understood. But then brings us to point number two. Ezra. Here we are in Nehemiah. Ezra is invited to lead in this understanding. He's invited to come in. It says that in verse 2. Listen, Ezra didn't just casually handle the Word of God. He was prepared for this. Or can I say this? He prepared for it. Look back. Keep your place here. We're going to be back here in just a moment. But turn back to Ezra chapter 7. I want us to see back here in Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7 is actually the part of Ezra where Ezra comes into Ezra. You understand? Ezra wrote before he was there, but Ezra 7 is when Ezra come into Jerusalem. Y'all with me? Ezra, it's when Ezra came into Ezra. Anyway. Okay, chapter 7, verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all of his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Drop down verse 10. And Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Listen, this was a man that had a heart to seek. He prepared himself. You know how we prepare ourselves to that? It means, you know, we get up on Sunday morning and come. No, to prepare means we get ready before it's time to get ready. We prepare our heart, we prepare our life, we prepare our mind, we prepare our schedule. Listen, when the doctor calls me and says, hey, we need to make an appointment for you at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday. You know what I say? I can't make that appointment. Because 4 o'clock might lead to, you know, 5:30, I'm not going to make it back in time. And I'm going to have to call the pastor and say, Pastor, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm coming back, you know, the appointment went long. So prepared means when somebody says, hey, I've got something to go Wednesday night. You know what I say? You know what I say? You know, I can't do that. What's your next appointment? He said, the next appointment isn't for 3 months down the road. You know what being prepared means? That God knows that, and I can trust Him. You say, well, you might die. To be prepared, and by the way, that's just an illustration. Don't run it. So a pastor thinks we can't make a doctor's appointment, so we should just get sick. No, here's what I'm saying. When there's something comes up, if we're prepared, that is in our mind. This is my blocked out time to be with the Lord. Nothing is going to interfere in that. Nothing is going to interfere. By the way, when I say nothing's going to interfere, it doesn't mean nothing interferes, but it means I'm not going to let anything. Sometimes there's things out of our control. Does that happen? Obviously it does. But, you know, a kid tries to rip their toe off or something, you know, like this. Things happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things that we can control. You know what happens a lot of times with folks? It's not even there. It's not even there. Hey, we're having a birthday party Sunday night. Okay, what time? Doesn't even occur. And then you're there, and then Sunday morning they talk about, we're a Sunday evening crowd. I'm not preaching at you. I'm just preaching with you. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And this kind of thing. And this is, but what I'm saying here is, this is what, he was a man that prepared. He prepared this thing. He was a man that had a heart to seek God. He had a heart to understand God, God's Word. And then he had a heart to teach the Word of God, the statutes and all these things of God. Can I tell you, he did not live in a day when that was popular. He was in Babylon, right? And Jerusalem was crushed for, like, you know, about 70 years or so, right? Or so, because he came later, as I'd already mentioned. So here he is sometime later, and here he is. It wasn't popular, but he said he got a heart to it. No matter what society said, he continued on. It did not dissuade him from the truth. Now let's go back to Nehemiah. Back to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 2. We pick this back up again. And Ezra the priest, brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women. Who was in there? Men and women. It wasn't this thing, well, you know, there was a day when the women are over here and men are over here. Not here. Right? Men and women, but watch this also. And all that could hear with understanding. You know who else got to be there? Children. There was a nursery, though. Maybe. I don't know. They weren't there. I'm just... Y'all with me? Okay. All those that had understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. In verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were... What is that word? I like that word. They were attentive unto the book of the law. So just a quick side note here. There's two side notes, but I wanted to get one. He read the word of God from morning. Now, in the scriptures, morning means the sun peaked out. Daybreak. From morning, first light, till the middle of the day. Just saying. By an hour, we're kind of getting a little sleepy nowadays. So I'm just saying, now, did they do this every day? No, the Apostle Paul preached until people were falling asleep out the window. I mean, that wasn't every day either. So you're like, okay, preacher, once a year you can do that. No, not every Sunday. So that's a side note. But the other thing here is this. They paid it. They were attentive. I think it takes something in us to be attentive. It takes something in preparation. I think preparation is one thing. When we prepare our heart to receive something from God, that helps us. But the other thing is we got to want to get something from God. It doesn't mean we're never going to be sleepy. I'm probably just as guilty as the next guy. You sit still a little while and you're just like, you know, I get that. I'm not, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, folks. I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm not. But I'm saying is when we are ready to grab something, it'll help us to be that thing of attentive. It really does. And so all that were able to understand were gathered together there. And verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Uriah and Hilkiah and Messiah, and on his right hand and on his left hand, Padiah and Mishael and Malchi and Hashem and Hashbadana, Zechariah and Meshullam. Yeah, amen. So we're going to find here in this chapter several things that give us a pattern of what we still attempt to follow today in our service. Okay, he stood upon a pulpit of wood. Now, today we call this a pulpit. Like, why do we call this thing a pulpit? I don't know. We just do. If you go look up pulpit on Google, you're going to find one of these. But a pulpit, really, the word kind of meant a platform. We're talking about a pulpit. We're really talking about this thing we're standing on in the scripture here. It's okay to still call this pulpit. Okay, let's not change everything. We call this a platform. It's probably, the words can be used interchangeably. He stood up on a pulpit of wood, which simply means an elevated position above the people, right? So he could be thought of as better and smarter and wiser, right? No. Why was he up on that pulpit? Well, so the people could all see him. So they could all see him. He was raised up, verse 5. And Ezra opened the book. In the, what's that word? Sight. You see, he was up in the air so they could all see him. It's a good thing to do. If somebody is in front of you and all you're doing is looking at the back of somebody's head, slide over. I do that in Sunday school. I mean, I don't like, you know, this morning Matthew's right in front of me. So I'm just edging up on my wife about to like, you know, like, what do we get in Sarah's seat? But I want to see. Why do you want to see? I don't know, because I want to see. I want to see facial gestures. I want, you know what I mean? This is what the idea was. Get up there so you could see them. We started a church in Iowa. We met in a senior center, and it was just really a place they fed people food, and it was just flat floor. So we built this platform with 2x8s, and it was this high. And we built these things. We had to take it down. We built two pieces. We'd lift this up, and it was all wheels. We'd slide. Anyway, just so we could be, you know why? So we could just be able to just look out, make it a little churchy, but just so you could look out. We find this, you know what we want to do? We want to kind of do it like we see it in here. That's what's happening here. In verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people, what's that? Huh. Well, that's interesting. So once the word of God was opened, the people stood up. Both the young, the old, the weak, the strong. Listen, it wasn't based on their ability to stand. I mean, they got there. Right? But it was based on their honor and respect to God's word. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I'm just saying, if you could get yourself into the seat, you could probably stand up when it's being read. Right? Don't misunderstand. You said, well, some people, not that I think anybody thinks like that here. I'm just saying what happened is when the word of God, you know what they did? There was something about the attentiveness said, I want to be with this. This is the word of God is more important than my ability or my inability. Can you imagine a fella that couldn't walk at all. And every day he had to be carried to some steps somewhere. I don't know, maybe by like the water gate or something. And maybe that was the gate that's called Beautiful. And he's there. And every day, and one day, a couple fellas walk by and he wants something from them. And they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. Rise in the name of Jesus. That fellow said, you know, I think I'm just going to sit here for a little bit longer. Right? No, he got up. He was leaping, right? He was jumping and leaping and praising God. That's what he did. You know why? Because it's like God did something for me. So just a little bit side note. I think what we find is what we have here. We find these people that when they heard the word of God, that's why we stand. That's why we stand. You know, why do we do what we do? There's some things we do just because it's maybe logical or something. But there's other things we do because we find a pattern of it in the Word of God. Does God say we have to do that? I don't think God says we have to do that. But if we're going to pattern ourselves after something, it'd be pretty good to pattern after something we've seen a pattern here in the Word of God. So we find that. On either side of Ezra, there were men standing. I'm sorry, yeah, there were men standing next to him. 13 in all. There's 7 on one side, 6 on the other. They seem to be leaders in the community. I did some research and tried to find. Nobody really knows who they are. We don't really have any other evidence who they are. They seem to be leaders. It seems to be they don't seem to be priests or Levites, because we'll see that in a minute. But they seem to be leaders standing up there, leaders maybe among the community, maybe in the different tribes or families, so forth. I'm not sure. They stood with Ezra, seemingly in a way of agreement. Standing with the preacher, and I don't mean just physically standing, I mean standing with the preacher, has a wonderful way of helping people to receive the Word of God. Right? And we're going to see this in just a minute, but I want to say, how do we stand with the preacher? Well, we let the people know I agree with him. By the way, do you let the people know you agree with him when you don't agree with him? No. We're not talking about lying, right? But when we agree, we're with that thing. We're with the message. We're with the thought. So let's go to point number 3. We'll get back to that. We want to look at what a worship service should look like. That's point number 3. What a worship service should look like. Verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Okay, look here. I want us to recognize some things here that I have tried to instill during my time in this here pulpit right here. If God is to work in and through His people, then we must respond to the Word. We must respond to the Word. So, this is just an interesting thing I've learned recently. And I kind of thought this, but I didn't know there's actually studies on it and so forth. There's some, you know, expressions and so forth. Studies have come to point out that a neutral expression a neutral. It's not happy, it's not sad, it's just a neutral expression, and the research has showed this way, is received as negative. No, it is. I'm not making this up. I'm just trying to be funny. A neutral expression just not mad, it's not glad, it's not sad. It's just is received by the person you're communicating with as negative. Now, people are like, I wasn't being negative. You're like, well, that's what comes across. So, listen, there's a thing here. This thing of what they did is this thing. This response that's going on. When Ezra blessed the Lord and read his word, all of the people responded. And the response was, amen. Amen. Listen, there was a verbal response among all the people. When it says all, I don't think it means every single person necessarily, but it was among all the people. Listen, I'm going to say this right here. I know our culture has some misgivings. Listen to me, folks, this evening on this. I know our culture has some misgivings on this, and we're concerned about what our right place and what our right response should be, whether men or women. But I want to tell you something from the Word of God today, right here. It says here that all of the people responded with amen. Amen. Now, so when, I know we're in our culture today, and it's been for a lot of time, it's like, well, women are to be silent in the church, right? If we go back there to 1 Corinthians, it said women to be silent in the church. It's not talking about this. It's talking about they're not to be the ones to be preachers, okay? But it doesn't mean, I know when, you know, some will just be like, I know some, they would do, you know, sign language. I'll see that. And the women started shaking their hands. Well, we're going to see that in a minute. But, you know, if all the people said amen and amen. Now, don't say amen just to say amen. Just say amen to say amen. Agree with that. Amen? Okay, we're going to get there. But there was more. Look again, verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. Oh. Uh-oh. I thought that was a charismatic thing. Woo! Okay. Is it okay for Baptists to raise their hand unto the Lord? Man, it's so uncomfortable, isn't it? You see somebody over there like, there she goes again. It's usually a she, right? Am I right? There she goes again, and you're just like, doesn't it feel so showy? Man, I hate that. I hate what we do. And I mean we, I don't mean we as in us here, but as it's, we just, you know, it gets associated with bad people and bad stuff, and is there a lot of goofiness that goes on there where people are just, you see, there's this picture, it's just maybe like a stock photo of all these people at a concert raising their hand, and on the other, if you look in the front, it's like smoke and lights and all that, so it's like associated with that, so we're like, right, you know, we end up wanting to go, we want to fly to the other side of the pendulum on that thing. But listen, I'm going to tell you what, you know, I wonder if maybe we would get a little more tuned into the Word of God in our service, and with the Spirit of God, and the stirring of our heart might compulsively stir us to move a member of our body. Amen? You ever just felt like, amen? But you feel like if I do that, what are people going to think? Me? feel like this sometimes. I'm sitting here, and I'll tell you, probably, I'll be fair. A lot of times it's in the music. The music is stirring. And I want to say, amen. I'm like, what are these people going to think? That pastor, we're charismatic. So you're like, isn't it weird? Is that it's not coming from here and it's not coming from there. It's coming from here. Which is, man. You know, but there's more. Verse 6. He continues. He said, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So, okay, I'm not sure if I've said this before or encouraged you to consider this place up here that we like to call the altar. I don't know if I've talked about that before. We usually try to invite everyone up here like once per service. It's not all the time, but like once per service, usually at the end. And we, you know, once per service that we open up the Word of God to the preaching of the Word of God. Listen, this is the place, watch this, to come here and bow your heads, worshiping the Lord with your face to the what? To the ground. Yeah, that's it. Seems like a pretty good place, right? Well, I don't think we have to do that. Can I just say this here? When I say that other voice, well, I don't think I'm not necessarily saying you. If it's you, then feel bad. If it's not you, then say, yeah, those people do that. Listen, this isn't a Pastor Hewitt designed process to stir some emotional response. This is what we find in the Word of God. It's right here. When these folks were stirred, they responded, is what they did, by bowing their faces to the ground. So let's get to number four. Number four, this is not a one-man show. Look at verse 7. And also, Jeshua and Bani and Shabiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathiah, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Pelahiah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Okay, listen, this was a different group than the other 13. Okay, the other 13 that was up here, this is a different group that's out there. There was a whole group of men that were involved with this thing. This was not the thing of the preacher preaching, giving the meaning and the understanding, and then having folks come up afterwards and ask again what he just said. He said something about something. What did that mean? No, you know what happened? The guy out here, and he said, what was that? What? He said something about that. He said, let me tell you about it. Because the preacher done preached, he doesn't need to come out here and tell each person again, right? But sometimes you're going to hear something you're not familiar with. Well, I never heard that before. Well, that happens, you know. Or what does actually that mean in my life? And there's some people out there that went ahead and gave the meaning. That's what's happening here. See, the Levites, it's kind of like they had a job to do that thing. Isn't that good? You know what I like about this? It's not all me, folks. It's not all me. You understand? We understand that? If you want it to be all me, we're going to have just us four no more. Because all me is not God's plan. And so they were out there, and the people stood still, listening. It gives the idea that they were interested in hearing it and understanding the truth. You know what I love? I love to hear people talking about the Word of God, asking questions one to another, particularly about what we just covered. Somebody said, wow, that's interesting. You know, primarily what I hear is if there's something that's controversial. Yeah, you said this, but I've kind of heard this way. And thanks. I don't know. Was there anything that you heard that like was good or that stirred your heart? No, I just heard the things that I don't hear that a lot. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What did these other men do to help? Did they disagree with it? Did they try to explain it away so they could continue to do their own will? Sometimes that'll happen. Preacher preach on something out of the Word of God, and it gets right up in your wheelhouse. right, in the area that, and they say, well, brother, don't you? Yeah, the preacher said that. I just don't really agree with that, right? So I can keep doing what I want to do, right? That's by the way, that's not what the Levites did here. That wasn't their thing. They didn't just justify their slacking behavior or their convictions. Say, well, the preacher said. I've heard people say this. Not here. I don't know that I've heard this here. I'm not saying. I've heard this at places where people have said, well, I've heard. I just don't agree with the preacher on that. Man, that's why don't we just put a big black stamp on the message, right? Unless it's wrong. But I'll recommend this right here. We're a little off topic, but if there's something that's wrong, come talk to me rather than, soil the whole pot, you understand? So look here, verse 8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly. By the way, go back to verse 8. Beginning of verse 8. So, what's that next word? They. We're still talking about the Levites now. It's not just Ezra out there. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So this is the thing, folks. This is about expository preaching and teaching. That's why we like to go through the Word of God verse by verse by verse, because it's, what does it mean? Let me tell you what it means. Let's go through what it means verse by verse. Now let me give you an idea. I mean, sure, we may use some illustration, but it's about the Word of God. It's about reading it distinctly, meaning clearly. When we read the Word of God in any type of way, whatever environment you read the Word of God, it ought to be done with care to be clear. Care to be clear on how you speak. They gave the sense. What does it mean? Let me tell you. They caused them to understand what was read. This is what we endeavor to do here at Heritage Baptist Church. Let's understand with the Word of God. This is what we want to do. Someone that is not interested in knowing and understanding and living the Word of God is going to be pretty uncomfortable in this church. That's kind of on purpose. I mean, not that I purposely want people to feel uncomfortable, but if you don't want to hear and know the Word of God, I think this would be pretty boring. If I didn't really want to know about that, I don't think I'd be very interested, right, in being listening to what we're doing. Number 5, last thing. I think it's the last thing, yeah. It's the last thing. Last point is just this. I don't want to be a negative preacher. Say, is that a point? Well, maybe it's a statement, but it's my point. It's my Roman numeral 5 heading. I don't want to be a negative preacher. I don't want to do that. Preachers have to fight against that, to be quite honest. It's easier to tell everybody, bless God, but the truth is, look at verse 9 now. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, it just means he was the governor. It's that word. And Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Listen, the Word of God has more instruction and direction and conviction and separation and putting off and putting on and turning away than you and I will ever completely accomplish in this life. It's too much. I'm not going to get it all. I'm not going to get perfected in all of it. It's too much. God, it's constantly, there's this, there's that, there's the other thing. God is showing us something else. He's teaching us something else. We're never going to get perfect at all of it. That's not an excuse not to follow the Word of God. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But my point is this. If all we are is negative, beat down and beat down and beat down and beat down, it's like, man, I'm never going to get it right. Right? It can hit us deep in the gut. Right? Well, it should hit you there sometimes. Actually, maybe quite often, it ought to hit you deep in the gut. Listen, if the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God never hits you in the gut that says, ow, that's me, you ain't listening. See, I didn't want to be negative. I went back to it. See what I'm saying? Man, Folks, when we get hit in the gut, there's a remedy. I got an idea. Maybe the remedy would be the altar. The remedy when God speaks to our heart. So you know what I see? If this is the remedy, and we got a handful of people getting the remedy, we got more handfuls that aren't getting the Word of God. And so there was people by this people, they were responding. Something was happening. Listen, the Word of God isn't meant to just rake us over the coals. It isn't. It is to set our feet on the solid rock. It's not just, the Word of God isn't to just tell you how, to tell believers how terrible we are. That's not what it's for. Yes, there's a time to weep and to mourn over your sin. Absolutely there is. But then here's what we do. We get it right and get moving on. That's what we do. Listen, we do not sit around or walk around moping, whining, and crying. Get rid of that stuff, folks. That's not God's plan at all. What this Word of God does is it gives us victory. We ought not sit on. Look at verse 10 now. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Preaching of the Word of God is meant to be our strength. Right? Listen, take this understanding, live it. That's where the joy is. Verse 11. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Woo! Man, they left saying, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Right? Wow, what a wonderful thing. Here's our conclusion. Number one, if you're going to go forward, if we are going to go forward, it's going to be by this book. It's going to be, look here, it's going to be by this book. If we're going to go forward, it's going to be by this book. But it must be responded to. This isn't some magic book that will benefit you all just by being in the place where it's read. It just won't. I wish it would. I'd sleep on it if it made that kind of difference. Right? Don't make someone else continually prod you to respond to it. Let the Spirit do that work in your heart. And you're like, man, I just don't ever really feel the prodding of the Lord. Then maybe we need to go back to the beginning. Right? Number two, this is not a one-man show. Your place in service, in understanding and living the Word of God is vital. It's vital. This isn't a show. In understanding the Word of God, we have been given the joy of the Lord. Really, it's what we get. That's the strength of this life. The Word of God, the joy of the Lord. And then last thing, number three, is this. Choose to be the positive part of this body. That's choice, folks. We can find things to be negative about, right? I like the color to be a little bit lighter or probably a little bit darker, right? I think this should have been there. I think this could have been there. We should have done this. We should have done that. There's always something, folks. I mean, you get two people, there's going to be two different opinions. Sometimes you get one person, there's two different opinions, right? I'm not saying there's things that's not. But choose to be the positive part of the body. You know what? The line for signing up to be the negative part is pretty long. Everybody's in that line. Yeah, I could go ahead and tell you what's wrong here. Be the positive part. And I don't just mean the color. I just mean, man, what we could use in this world, in our day and age, in our church, is just people that are just positive. Maybe for you, that starts by coming to this altar, maybe for the first time in a long time. to respond. It's time for us to rise up and build a spiritual work in our community. Not just a building, but a spiritual work in our community. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you would, Lord, help us. Lord, you've blessed us so greatly. Lord, you've already blessed us beyond measure. And Lord, I do thank, Lord, you've given us a wonderful church, a wonderful body of people. And Lord, we've seen souls saved, baptized. We've seen folks come along in their relationship with you. Such a wonderful, wonderful thing. Lord, I want to give you thanks, Lord, for what we've been able to see you do in our midst. And yet, Lord, today I want us to, Lord, I want you to stir us that we wouldn't just be satisfied with what you've done, even with the building of the walls and the things that we've seen and the temple that was built. And Lord, not just what we've already seen accomplished, but Lord, I pray that you would give us a mind, a prepared mind and a heart and a will to receive your truth and your word and understanding. And then, Lord, we would have a heart to these things. Lord, would you do that work in our hearts, Lord? Maybe tonight there's some that have been stirred, and they've been stirred many times, and the inkling to move and is there, but maybe there's a little bit of an embarrassment or shame or uncomfortable or unease. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see from your word that it's exactly what you want us to do. So Lord, I pray that you have your will and your way in this time of invitation. Well, thank you for it now.